We've been in a series here on truth in 1 Timothy, and he wrote the book so that everybody would know how to behave in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. God's way of doing church is pretty neat there, and it's based on truth. And we have a readings here that comes from all the benedictions in the book of Timothy here, and we've been responsibly reading them for our four-part series here. These scriptures that you're getting ready to read responsibly are the foundational doctrines of our faith. And Timothy and Paul put them all together here, and it is tremendous. And I just don't want you to read these words. I want you to think through them. Tyler's going to come up and lead us in our responsive reading, but let these words touch your heart. Everybody stand and let's read this together.
I'll be reading the pink and you'll be reading the purple. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
My own Son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
These things write, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth.
Now he is the King of eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all.
And great is misery godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the word, received up in glory,
which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords,
who have the immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, to whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom the honor and power everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. It's all about truth, and those statements that you just read is the truth that we stand upon and stake our lives. Our first week, we talked about the things not to do at church, okay? The things not to do at church, how not to do church. And it is amazing here. It says, flee these things, and it refers to 4, 1, and 2, deceptive spirits, doctrines of devils, 6, 3 to 5, jealousies, divisions, slander, evil suspicions, and then 6 to 10 and 17 and 18, the love of money. It says flee these things. That's what church is all about. And it says fight. Flee and fight these things. Resist these things. Do not go there to do church. And then we talk to the men. The men to be the example. Don't let anybody despise your youth. Young men, set the pace. I love that. Set the pace in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, and be the example of the believers. Set the pace, men. Young men, don't let anybody despise your youth. Very, very important. And then we were with the ladies last week. And the ladies, the women, are to be the ones of motherhood and the highest calling. We celebrate Mother's Day. But motherhood is for a lady that's married, that can have children. It is her highest calling. And to place energy there. And to train, catch this, to train the young women to love their husbands, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands. We talked about that all last week. So important. Our culture is not emphasizing motherhood and something that is a sidekick, but it's the main thing, ladies. It's the main thing, girls. And Timothy here and Titus is very, very clear, and we want that. that to be big time at our church. Ladies, motherhood, God's highest calling. Today we're on togetherness. Today we're on togetherness, putting the church together. It takes us all. My two grandsons and Jack are on a team, and they put it all together. Do we have to have on a baseball team? Do you have to have somebody that can bat? Do you have to have somebody that can catch? Do you have to have somebody that can throw? You know, somebody that will run the bases? Somebody that sits in the dugout and cheers everybody on? You know, it takes us all in a baseball game. And then we get better at it. Is that right? We get better at it. And we think about it. And these are all little kids. And it's pretty cool to watch them. And when you strike out, you get up there again. Is that right? And that is so important. It takes all of us to run the church. Yeah, we're all here this morning. It takes every one of us to run the church. Hope you realize that. And we're in this together. And that's pretty neat. Yes, we've been talking about what not to do. We've been talking about men. We've been talking about ladies. But this is everybody. This is everybody. I've chosen 1 Timothy chapter 3, the text on the preacher's qualifications, the deacon's qualifications. And let's just read those together here to catch those. And to realize that this, I want you to see togetherness all in there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And saying, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone, that's together, it's anybody. I want you to know, anybody can work and do church. Huh? It takes us all. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. The word overseer is pastor, elder. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, not but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own house well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Here we're talking about the wives and the children. It all takes us together. Verse 5, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how shall he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert. It takes all of us. It takes new believers. Praise God for new believers. Huh? And it takes believers that are growing. It takes young believers, middle-aged believers, old believers. It takes us all to run a church and to make church function, to get serious followers together for Jesus. Or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Do we need even unsaved people coming in? We need all. Verse 8. Deacons. The first seven verses is pastors. It says, deacons. Here, my dear wife. She's wonderful, but I have it right here. I just wanted you to work. It takes us all. I'm just kidding you. Verse 8, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy of dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives must also be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children. So we have children, we have wives, we have husbands, we have the whole family, new believers, anyone together. And their household well, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and a great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 14, we hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that, verse 15, here's our theme verse of the book, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and buttress of truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. He was manifest in the flesh, born by virgin, vindicated by the Spirit, affirmed by the Spirit on his baptism, seen of angels, it was divine, proclaimed unto the nations salvation, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. That's our gospel. It is amazing here to see that it takes us all. It is together. We're in this ball game together. And if one strikes out, you know, some has to hit a sacrifice fly to get them around. Is that right? And they got to get out. The coach gives them all the sign. I love the signs in the games. I don't know what it means, but it's kind of cool. And he has to hit a long ball so he can advance the runners. Is that right? And he gets to make an out. You know, the coach says, make an out. I can get a hit. You know, no. And there's all kinds of things. It takes us all to make the church function. And I trust you have your part. And the first thing is to aspire. Anyone aspires or desires God's stuff here. It's just not for the preacher. Praise God for our pastors. Amen? It's just not for our deacons. We're going to be electing deacons here in June there. And we're talking to deacons if they'll run. And if you have any suggestions for someone running for a deacon, talk to one of our deacons. We're working on that right now. And they got to obey this 1 Timothy 3. Is that right? That's God's list. Big deal. Big deal. And but I just wanted to hit it from everybody ought to aspire to this. Children, teenagers, young men, older men, to aspire to walk with God. To aspire, you got to want it. To want it, I've written some things down. There is, you're passionate about it. You're committed to it. You work at it. You train for it. It's for all of us. But we have to desire it. We have to aspire to it. I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to start working for God. I'm going to start being committed to God. I want to make a difference in this church. It's my church, huh? Together. It's just not the men, it's just not the women, it's just not the pastors, it's just not the deacons. It's me and my church, and we're going to function in it, and I'm committed to it, and I'm going to start walking with God because it's my church. And it says to care for God's church, to care for it. Somebody's got to care. It takes a lot of function to make this happen. Y'all know that? I mean a lot. You just don't understand. A group building, bringing us together, and we're all different. And I'm going to care for the church of God. I'm going to help. I'm going to make this church do something for God. I'm going to make it great. I'm going to help it function. I want it to be excellence. I'm going to do my part. It's my church. And we're going to serve God here and minister to God here and worship God here and teach God here and touch people here. Amen? Who's going to care for the church of God? I want to. That's aspire to care for the church of God. And thirdly is to hold the mystery of faith. And it is amazing here. This is what we believe. This is what we hold to. This is supernatural. This is out of this world. This is divine truth. This is saving forgiveness, empowering gospel. I believe it. I live by it. I know it. And it's about the mystery here in 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery. And we've already read it here. He came in the flesh. The Spirit vindicated him. The angels saw him. He was proclaimed in the nations. He was believed on. He was taken up to glory. We believe it. That's the mystery of godliness, the mystery of our faith. It is wonderful that I'm going to make a difference. I'm in. I'm going to care for the church. And first, we're going to know the mystery of faith. We're going to know what we believe and why we believe it. And then next, we're going to serve. We're going to serve well. They served well. This is neat. In a baseball, we all need each other. We need some volunteers. We need some sacrifice. We need some excellence. We need some dedication. We need some hard work. We need loving people. We need denying self. Count me in. Count me in. It's my church. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to believe the truth. And now I'm going to serve. I'm going to help. I'm going to care. I'm going to be there. I trust you're there. Together we build a church. And then next it's able to teach. That we're able to teach. You say, well, preacher, I can't teach too much. Yes, you can. Well, I'm not a teacher. You know, we could name our teachers in the church. No, you're not that. But can you study your Bible and share with somebody what you've learned? All teaching is you taking it in for yourself and then giving it away to somebody and sharing truth. And this is teaching truth, and it's encouraging people, counseling people, just being an example. More is caught by how you live than by what you say. Is that right? You're a teacher. You're a teacher either good things or bad things. And you're teaching by example, okay? So you're already a teacher. And so be a lifelong student of the Bible. That's why we're called a Bible church. And it's just not because we have it right here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. It's for us to read, to digest, to live by, to love by. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not much of a Bible reader. Begin. You might begin this way. I hope you're hitting the New Testament, okay? But begin. We have Bible reading in our bulletin each week. What we're preaching on Sunday night, what we're preaching on Wednesday night, what we're preaching next week. You can start reading. And then we got the daily breads back there. We have devotionals all over the place also. You can start reading in a book. Pick a book. I'm in 1 Timothy. Start reading 1 Timothy every day. It'll change your life. And Pastor Kyle starting in Titus chapter 2. Start reading it. Devour it. It'll come alive. And you'll be able to have something to say because you've let God talk to you. And to be a lifelong student of the Bible, to love truth, to know truth, to live truth, to share truth. You know, telling others what God told you, communicating, applying it. Come on. Become a student of the Bible. Huh? You can do it. Preacher, I don't know where to begin. 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 Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Any of the epistles, they're smaller. You know, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those are great books. James is a great book. 1 Peter is a great book. Pick one of the little ones. Devour it. Become a teacher. And then it says to be tested and proven. This is a big one. How many of you like to take tests? There has to be a track record. Is that right? You get up the bat and they keep your batting average. 32.30, you're terrible. You can get batting better, can't you? You can get batting better. I played on a softball team when I was 29. Right before we came here. I was 29 when I came to be the pastor of the church 100 years ago. We played softball at the team at the church I was at, First Baptist Church in Jessup, Iowa. And all of them were younger, and I was the old man. Where does the old man play? First base. All you can do is catch a ball, okay? But one of them taught me how to hit a ball right over the first baseman's head. And that's all you do, just get up and go. And walk to first base. It's kind of cool. And all you have to do is just... In the game, it takes us all, and we can get better. Is that right? Can you get better serving God? Can you get more personal? Can you know more about the Bible? Can you up your level in caring for the house of God, being a leader, being a teacher, being a servant, being all of, huh? You can. You just got to get a track record. And you're tested and proven. It says, let the deacons be proven. You start telling the truth, then you become truthful. You start studying the scriptures, and then you start commenting in your Sunday school class, and then the teacher asks you to teach, and you go, that's exciting. And you realize God's doing it. I just wrote down some things here. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 11, and 12. And I just hit, the black is the text, but I just wrote out some things. And that's what it says, do people trust you? Big statement. Are you true to your word? Huh? That's a big statement. Good character quality. And then about addictions. Addictions are Satan's subtle scams. He is a liar. Is that right? And he will bite you with some of these addictions. Don't trust yourself. Don't tempt yourself. Is that right? Big deal. And then it says, in what areas are you materialistic? Are we materialistic in some area, each of us? We are. We're America. Get a life. And we got it. It says, test yourself. Prove yourself to understand that. Let's go to verse 9 here. Verse 9, it says, have a clear conscience. I wrote this one. This is a heavy one. Are you hiding an ungodly secret sin? Well, preacher, everybody's doing that. No, everybody's not. You should have a clear conscience. You can lose your clear conscience and you can regain it. Is that right? You should have a clear conscience. Secret stuff. No. We're gonna stop this. God help me. If God's pricking at your heart right now, deal with it, confess it, forsake it, and get it out of there. And then it says, are you a gossiper? Is the Bible against gossip? All over the place. Preacher, I'm just giving information. The 1 Timothy's big on slander. 1 Timothy's big on this many times. And then it says, sober-minded. Are you hot-headed or quick-tempered? Can your temper ruin you? It can. Where are you? Let's keep reading here. Verse 11, faithfulness. Would Jesus approve of your music, movies, and media? That's heavy. We got all kinds of it out there. You just need to know, would Jesus approve of it? That's heavy. Ask yourself. And maybe you need to clean up some stuff. Another one, when it comes to your hobbies and sports, is Jesus first in your life? That's heavy. There's nothing wrong with hobbies and sports. I think it's great. But is Jesus first? Big issue to catch that. Verse 12. Are you faithful to your mate? Catch this one. Even on the internet. That's heavy. If some of these touch you, deal with it. Get some help. If there's some addictions, get some help. If there's things that you've been working on for years, get some help. That's why we're here. We're together in this. Is that right? Very important. When it says, are your children, note I put in quote, in for the most part, obedient, respectful, and modest. Are those big issues? Those are big issues. Tested and proven. And I want you to answer these. If one of these stick with you, deal with it this week. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Kyle. Talk to one of our leaders, your teachers. Don't go it alone. Get accountability. Is that right? Accountability. Get help. Get victory. Be tested. Be proven. Have a track record. Get some consistency. It's wonderful to catch that. And this next one, I love it. Have great confidence in the faith. If you are moving in this direction and you're growing in your work together for the church and your part in the church and your part in walking with God and talking with God, it is wonderful to have confidence, to know for sure that God is with you, for you, working in you, using you, to have great confidence on the bat. Is that right? You're batting or you're fielding and you get good confidence. You know where that ball's going to bounce once and twice right there. Is that right? You know where that ball's going to go when you're batting and you hit there. And Tim and the boys and I did some batting practice last night. I hit the ball. I even got it out of the infield. You know, great confidence. And you need to have that in your faith. It's not you. Is that right? It's God, but you get it. You're going to walk with God this week. You're going to be tempted this week, but you're not going to fall. Is that right? You're going to have victory. You're getting some confidence. Man, God's been with me for 60 years, and He's going to be with me for the rest. And He is guiding me and leading me. He's helped me get victory over this, 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 and this, and He's going to help me get victory over this, this, and this. Great confidence in the faith, because God has been with you, for you, in you, around you, through you. Yes, you fall, but you get up. That is one of the strong keys of the Christian walk. It's not that I'll never fall, I'll never sin. My flesh is weak, I will, but I can get up quick. The key is getting up quick. The key is admitting it, confessing it, and getting it under the blood. And running from it and changing. And that is so important that we have great confidence in God. And we're persuaded that He's with us. We become Bible strong. We become inner strength. We start being bold and stand no matter how unbearable the circumstances are. My God's going to continue with me. And you have great confidence in the faith. I trust you're there together building a great church. You got to get to that level of great confidence in the faith. And lastly, gain a good standing. Gain a good standing. We sang a couple of our songs this morning was the issue of our standing. Is God up in heaven noticing what you're doing on this earth? Does He keep records of everything that you're doing? Huh? Is He going to reward you one day for all that you do for God? All your sacrifice, all your suffering, all your endurance, all your effort of serving Him, teaching, obeying Him, He's going to reward you. Matthew 25:33 says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." Do you know, according to your sacrifice and service and surrender and heart motive of doing things for God, when we come to the millennium, I do not understand everything. All I know is we're going to rule and reign with Jesus in the millennial, the 1,000 years on the earth after the tribulation. Wow. If you want to know more about that, read the last couple chapters of the book of Revelation. It tells you all about it. There's going to be 1,000 years on this earth when King Jesus is going to rule, and we're going to have live people, mainly Jews and some Gentiles, and we're going to somehow be in heaven, filtering down and up. It's going to be, woo! It's going to be better, best sci-fi you ever laid eyes on. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign according to our works and our serving God and our sacrifice and our loving people, our ministering to people, our caring for people. He's going to give us rewards, and we're going to rule and reign with Him according to our faithfulness, huh? And our sacrifice. And we're going to somehow be up in heaven, coming down to earth, ruling and reigning with Him somehow. And we will not be bodily form on the earth. It's going to be a wild day. That's why it will be worth it all when we see Christ. You might have had to, your family said, if you're going to follow Jesus, just don't come around. Huh? You might have to have had to stand for Jesus at school or stand for Jesus at work and lose some things. It's going to be worth it. But and to realize, I'm going to do right. I don't care if the whole world's doing wrong. I'm going to do right. Because my God is going to reward me one day for doing right. And I'm going to stand before Him and to hear His words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's going to be wonderful, huh? And that's why we sacrifice. That's why we serve. That's why we study. That's why we do all of these things. Because there in 1 Timothy 6:19, the verse we've always ended with, it's behind me here, it says, "Thus storing up treasure," is that right? Storing up, it's mounting up. God's keeping records. He's going to reward us. "For themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may lay hold tightly to that which is truly life, now and forevermore." That's why we live. Because one day we're going to stand before our Maker, our Savior, our God, our King. And He's going to pass out the crowns, the rewards, and we're going to serve Him. And you will want to be rewarded for your effort for Christ. And that's why we do it all together. Put the together up, last sign here. And to together here, I want everybody. You have to aspire to this. You have to desire this. This is not something that you come. I want to be an all-out servant for God. This is my church. I'm going to inspire to care for the house of God. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do it excellent. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to work well with other people. I'm going to get along. We're all do it a little differently. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to quarrel. I'm not going to get suspicious. I'm not going to put my thoughts on you. We're going to get along, and I'm going to serve God and do my part in this church to care for the house of God and to hold to the mysteries. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to become a Bible person so I know God better and it gets better, and to have joy and peace and just grace. It's wonderful. And then I'm going to start serving, ministering, helping, caring, talking, loving, hugging, helping, meeting people's needs. And then I'm going to start talking about it. I'm going to study the Bible, and it's going to start flowing out of me. "Oh, preacher, I'm scared to death." Be scared to death. Do it. Able to teach and then tested and proven. It's starting to happen. I'm getting some consistency. I'm working on some of those weaknesses in my life. I'm getting some victory. And then you get great confidence. Huh? I can talk to that person. "Oh, they won't listen to me. They're smarter than me." I want you to know, God does miracles when you open your mouth and try to touch somebody. He's the miracle worker. And it's not us. It's not in confidence. I have confidence in my ability. I don't have confidence in my ability. I have confidence in God. That He will do it with me, around me, to me, through me, and for me, and it's wonderful. And that's my confidence, because I'm trying to be proven. I'm teaching, I'm serving, I'm studying, I'm caring, I'm desiring. God, teach me. God, talk to me. God, use me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not much, but use me. And you get great confidence. And the greatest part is you're going to stand before God. And He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been a faithful in a few things." Catch that. It doesn't say, "You've done as much as Billy Graham." It doesn't say that. It says, "You've been faithful in what? A few things. I will make you ruler over many." That's why we do it together. That's why we do it with confidence. That's why we do it with sacrifice. That's why we do it with surrender. That's why we do it with humbleness. Is that right? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In baseball, we practice and play and do everything, and we get a little plastic trophy. Huh? We're going to get an eternal reward in heaven for our sacrifice, surrender, and service. Amen? That's why we do it. I want it. Hope you want it. You have to make a decision this morning of, are you going to aspire to care for the church of God, studying the scriptures, serving God, communicating truth, be tested and proven, becoming consistent with confidence, knowing that you're going to stand before God and be rewarded. Preacher, I'm in. It's my church. It's me doing my part. My beliefs, you know, my life, my rewards. Watch me. Hold me accountable. Work with me. Let's reach Elkhart for Jesus. It's our church. It's the pastors, it's the deacons, it's the teachers, it's everybody, the helpers, the leaders. I'm going to do my part. Hope you're recommitting yourself. Preacher, I'm not walking with God. This message has convicted me. One of your sections of the tested and proven really hit me. I'm allowing evil to walk in my life. One of those issues really, Lord, really convicted me. I need some victory. Confess it, confront it, claim victory, get victory. If you need help, get help. Humble yourself. If you're not saved here this morning, man, there's a reason to get on the team for Jesus. There's a great reward. There's great satisfaction. There's a thrill of peace and joy and contentment and purpose. That's why you get saved. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Sure don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven with Jesus because He's forgiven your sins and you trusted in Him and He has come alive in your life? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? I'd love to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. Christians, recommit to God's service and the church and the ministry and do your part. It's worth it all. We're going to sing Glorious Day here, and we're going to heaven someday, and it's going to be glorious, serving with all your being.